In the aftermath of a troubling night at the Arclight, Lamplight Investigative Services upgrade their unofficial investigation of the goings-on during the Night of Gilded Birds into an official investigation. Mama Amaretta finds herself at the Cypher City Clinic, haunted by the ghost of a previous case that may be connected to the new runic language Yarrow discovered, while Joe rendezvous with Yarrow to discuss whether or not Arthur is a figure they should be trusting. Joining forces, the two young women find themselves on Arthur's doorsteps, only to discover the Weatherby name is involved yet again.
As the afternoon rolls on, clouds begin to roll in. At first just covering the sun, then turning gray, and now growing darker and darker, the impending night storm bringing a chill to the air of the city. You've been gathering leads, all seeming to drag each of you in a different direction, pulling your resources tight across Cypher and Nova. But you have one job to focus on right now. Rosalind Glynn hired you to find out who had ruined the art that was to be presented at the Night of Gilded Birds. You push back your other theories, the moving runes, the missing crystals, lingering in the background the masks of the faceless. For that one job, you have had one lead, a paint store that a little artist boy pointed you toward that night. You find the street you were directed to by the young boy. There's a shop with glass windows in the front through which you can see rows and rows of art supplies. Neon Star, the name, buzzing in a neon pink and yellow sign above the door. You stand across the street, Mama's car parked farther away, cars passing by as the streetlights begin to slowly flicker to life.
Amaretta's gonna lean on her cane a little bit and look to the other two and say, "Now remember, we're gonna want to be searching for a paint brand with the letter G. I think we don't want to be wasting too much time here. Otherwise, they might get ideas that we're trying to do something besides purchase artwork, which technically we are, but might get the wrong kind of idea."
I think JJ's like, not being obvious. She's not trying to be obvious, but she just keeps looking at Joe and then being like, turning away suddenly and then looking back at Joe and then being like, "I don't know. We're going to go to a paint store and we're going to look for a G."
"And if y'all want to have a conversation, I recommend you two take it outside."
"Oh, I don't have anything to say."
"Of course."
"Do you?"
"No." "Well, of course y'all don't." And she'll just walk across the street.
I think JJ, like, opens her mouth when Mama says, "Do you have anything to say?" And then Joe says no, and she just kind of closes her mouth. Yeah. And is walking, but is in the back of everybody.
I think Joe kind of, like, glances over her shoulder and is like, "You all right? Did you sleep well?"
I guess. "What about you?"
"Me?
You disappeared, and we didn't know where you were, and that's always something that I don't like."
"JJ, were you worried about me?"
"People were worried about you, and, I mean, you could have just been at your apartment."
"I do have one of those, yes."
And I think JJ will, like, drop her voice. "We both know how often either of us is at our apartment.
It's just, you know, it seemed like recently you needed your own space, so."
"I could say the same for you, which is maybe why I was worried."
"Well, I can take care of myself."
"That's not..."
"You know, I always wanted to be a painter."
As Mama pushes the door in and you follow, a little bell dings, announcing your entrance. The inside is filled with stacks of art supplies arranged in neat rows on metal shelves, the walls covered in hanging things, paper to canvas, paintbrushes to inks. You make your way towards where it looks like the paint supplies are located, and doing a quick periphery, there's a few different brands here, but not many, and only one with a G, Gattersoul.
"I think this is it."
I think Joe picks one up and, like, examines it and is like, "Gattersoul." It's kind of a mouthful.
I don't think you're supposed to eat it.
I think that that stupid joke kind of, like, breaks through something, and she, like, looks at JJ and grins, and then takes, like, the screw top part of the paint tube and, like, puts that in her mouth to, like, carry one away, just, like, between her teeth.
You hear heavy footfalls coming down the middle aisle of the store from the back. A face appears around the corner who looks to be a middle-aged man, pot belly, ginger mutton chops that cover skin that looks more scaly than fleshy. He wears a blue shirt with the sleeves rolled up to his elbows and has an off-white apron on it that's covered in paint stains and the like. Hello. Anything I can help you with?
Joe drops the paint tube out from between her teeth into her hand.
You watch his eyes follow that movement.
We're doing okay, actually. We found what we needed quite swiftly, so thank you for having an organized shop.
I read myself on it.
I have a question. You seem like you might know something about painting.
I do indeed.
Excellent. I have just started a new work, and I was thinking, so I broke my watch the other day, and there were some crystals in there, and they glowed with this, like, very, it was, I don't know, it's a very difficult to describe, which is why I was thinking about mixing it, perhaps, with some paint. I was just wondering if you knew anything about, do you have to, is it like watercolor, where you have to, like, grind it, or is there, has it been done? Ooh, maybe I'm on the verge. They never think I'm on the verge. I'm always on the verge.
I don't make a habit of getting involved in crystal work.
Is there anyone else that works here that might know a thing or two?
It's just me. Store runs in my family.
This store is run by... That is amazing. You keep it immaculate. I could not even imagine running this by yourself.
Amaretta will pick up, I guess, a few bottles of the paint from that brand and bring it up to the counter.
He walks behind it. There's a little swinging, like half-swinging door to enter behind the counter. And you lay them all out in his kind of thick, meaty fingers, pass over them, flipping them over to see the colors.
Not to guess anybody's hobbies, but none of you really seem like the painting type to me.
Well, it's a gift for my daughter. She's an artist, and she's real particular about the paint she kind of likes, so.
She loves this brand in particular. Is it popular?
He slowly brings the paints closer to, like, write down, like, the little number on them for inventory reasons.
That's interesting to hear.
Why?
Well, this brand is new on the market, so there's not really any way somebody could already like it like that, I suppose.
I believe that she just tried it the other day and just immediately thought, this is my new favorite.
She's verging as well.
Yes.
Well, I mean, she usually has a habit for committing to some kind of painting to just try and get some test tubes out, so I imagine she just liked this brand a lot and said get more. I mean, she just told me to get more of this brand. I don't, like I said, I ain't no artist. She seemed to really like it. I didn't know this was new. How new is this?
He has these reading glasses hanging around his neck from a silver chain, and he looks up and pulls them up onto the edge of his nose, appraising you all.
I've also never seen the likes of you in my store before.
Well, like I said, my daughter usually gets this stuff. I'm just doing her a little gift today. I thought I might surprise her.
All right.
Continues writing the rest of the numbers down.
What type of painting does your daughter do?
I mean, she kind of does all sorts of stuff. She does a lot of landscaping, portraiture. Like I said, most of this stuff's beyond me, but a lot of pretty landscapes, a lot of pretty faces.
Alright, sounds interesting.
And he pulls out a little paper bag and drops the paints in.
Alrighty, on a little calculating machine,
types in some numbers, presses a button. You hear a click and some paper feeding through, and he says,
all right, that's going to be 30 otezas for the lot of it.
Thank you so much. I mean, I don't know if you got any other recommendations. I know this brand's kind of new and everything, but I guess my daughter must have got her hands on it somehow. I don't know how she gets most of this stuff.
This is actually not one of the brands that I really do recommend a lot for specific things. Sawyer is a better brand for just in general paint. And
Do you have any complaints with this brand in particular?
none that have been formally lodged to me directly. Have you had issues with the paint? I'd like to know so I could fix the problem.
The only experience we have with it is what Mama's daughter has said, and she loves it. So if anything, we are here to sing praises. However, maybe I will get a tube of Sawyer paint for my virgining.
Is that what that means?
I don't know.
JT, can you roll me the mask as you lie to this man?
That's 7 plus 1. 8.
Well, I love to help out new artists here. That's what a lot of my work is doing. So, why don't I throw these in on the house for you? And he brings out three little wooden canvases for you as well. Alrighty, that'll come to 12 Otezas.
Thank you so much, and I'm really sorry. I get nervous. It was very, very nice to meet you. And JJ just puts on an entirely different entire posture changes. I'm thank you. I get, you know, when you're starting something new and you want to seem like you know what you're doing, and it's just thank you. And she'll pay and take the bag. And if I have any questions, what's your name again?
The name's Aura Mills.
Pleasure to meet you again.
As Mama had turned, as JJ was buying stuff, you see that there are three individuals across the street that are very obviously watching this place of business.
Hey, sir. Do you have people who tend to loiter this place a lot? Because I think you got three of them across the street.
His back has turned at this point as he's organizing a shelf behind the counter. And as you say that, he pauses.
They're not here for me.
I don't like what you just said, sir.
He kind of slowly turns his head to look over his shoulder.
You have funny stories and you ask some weird questions. It's not my fault. They said nobody would find out. They promised. But apparently, somebody found out.
Well, it is your fault if you're a fucking snitch.
And you watch him reach across the counter, and he grabs this pair of scissors, and he turns around to you.
It was a test to see if it would work, to see if they could shape it to their needs. If you're here asking questions, I assume it worked. And then he dashes out, slams open the swinging door, and through a door into the back of the shop. It's another swinging door that swings wide and open as he runs. And you see the three people across the road start slowly walking towards the entrance across the street.
Amaretta is going to turn to one of them and say, "One of you call the enforcers right now. Send them after that man that's running off. Right now, we got a situation on our hands. Let's see if we can get outside, get in our car, and if we can't, gotta find our hands."
JJ will go call the enforcers.
Amaretta, in her old age, the cane sword is maybe a bit for show, maybe a bit for also practical use. She can try run after the guy. She's not nearly as fast as the other two. She'd have better luck in her car, but she doesn't know where he'd be going at that point. So I think, given the circumstances, knowing that these two are possibly in danger with the three approaching, her priority is making sure that Joe and JJ are gonna make it out okay, and that the enforcers, at least with an identifying face and features, are able to track this guy down.
Draws her sword, gets her dagger out of her boot, and puts it in her belt.
JJ, I'll say that as you scramble around this store, it doesn't look like there's a phone out in the front of the store. So you go into the back, and rushing into this back room, it looks like extra stock, box piles, some shelving. There's light in here, but it's not immediately apparent that this light isn't coming from the lanterns as per usual in shops. And you kind of stop. You see a door on the back open that's it's been pushed open. You see that there is a phone right to your left on the inside wall, but the light in this room is pulsing.
a colorful glow emanating from the walls. And as you look, painted across the surface in a rainbow of colors are those strange runes that keep coming back around. Out in the front, as one of the individuals brings out this device in their hand, like clicks it together, whips it apart, throws it under their feet, jumps on, and a hoverboard lifts them up and over the top of the art store, and the other two continue forward.
I don't know if JJ would call the enforcers upon discovering that this would be the biggest lead we have had thus far in anything that we have done. Also, she doesn't like him. Check out the back door. Can I still see the guy that's running?
You run over to that back door, and you see that he has backed himself against the brick wall behind him, and he's looking up, and you can see hovering, starting to come down in this short alleyway, is somebody on a hoverboard. Their face is covered by a white and gold mask.
What the fuck is that? Who the fuck are you? What the fuck is going on?
You watch as his handle on the scissors flexes, and there's a click, and the metal moves, clicking out of place and coming apart so that he's wielding two short swords, the end of which are still like scissors in his fingers.
This isn't what people mean by scissor.
In the front, those two have walked across the street, and as they get into the light of the art store shop and the neon sign out front, you can see pink and yellow glinting off white masks. I'm going to have you roll a Defy Disaster.
So that's a 7.
I think that you can do this, but you're not sure if they're going to get there in time to attack you before you complete the task. Joe, what are you doing in this time as Mama kind of rushes to the door to start putting the paints down?
I have like this little medallion amongst my normal necklaces, and I like press a little button on it, and it expands into this like wide circle that's almost like a breastplate sort of thing. It doesn't cover my whole chest, but it covers my heart. And that's really and I like kind of tuck it slightly into my shirt.
And they open the door and come inside, and one of them rips open a sword that is electrified like we've seen before, and the other one pulls out a very much hacked and changed revolver. The sword is pointed outwards towards Joe, and the revolver is pointed outwards towards Mama. And the one with the electric sword whip it up and across Mama's side, and Mama, you feel this burn and this searing of heat as your side is split open from the sword. But it's not bleeding because it's immediately cauterized as the sword goes through it.
I think as the one raises their gun hand, Joe has already launched her dagger directly at their hand.
Roll me a fight.
That's an 8. I want to create an opportunity for an ally.
As you throw your dagger, the gun is being brought up and your dagger like hits right in the hands of this individual, and the gun, they almost fling it away as they try to get out of the dagger's path. They drop it and it skitters over across the floor next to one of the metal shelves that is fairly close to Mama, who would be able to just very swiftly sweep it up off the ground. You hear from behind this mask as they kind of get over the fact that they've lost their weapon and kind of hunch their shoulders. Huh. Oh, you too scared to fight that you're doing it from so far away? And they start bearing down on you and they're gonna take a string on you.
Joe just rolls her shoulders back and she's like, "We'll come closer then."
Outside in the back, the hoverboard is slowly descending. And while Aura has these two swords out, one towards you, one up towards the sky, you also see that he is terrified. "No, please, I did what you asked of me. I believe.
Can I throw my shoe at the guy and try to knock him off the hoverboard?
Yes, please roll me a fight.
That's 2 fives and a plus one, so 11. So I get something, he gets an opportunity, and then they have a condition.
You take off your platform and you chuck it up into the sky, and it hits the edge of the hoverboard and shoots it out from underneath the individual standing on it. And the hoverboard stays hovering, but the person falls backwards off of it and tumbles, and you watch as they kind of hit the side of their head against a railing on the nearby fire escape until they fall to the ground, kind of in a crumpled heap. As they're distracted in that, Aura looks at you, hesitates, and then takes off to the right, starts running down this alleyway. The individual who's been crumpled on the ground, you watch like start to move. And I've interpreted this a little bit jankily because you don't necessarily get this thing from them, but you have taken it from them. In the sense, as they pick themselves up, you watch porcelain pieces of this mask that has been cracked upon getting hit on the side of a building drop to the ground. And as they kind of put their hands over their face for a second and let out a cry of pain and like trying to scramble to get the rest of it off, as you can see, it's kind of dug into portions of their skin. JJ, you stand there in shock, looking at the face of a ghost. Light blue skin, blonde mullet, eyes a very familiar shape to yours. Looking at the face of a girl whose picture last smiled up at you from the obituary section of the Nebula. The face of someone who you left when you ran away. The face of someone you most recently saw in a nightmare. April August.
I'm... Oh my god, I threw you into the side of a building!
As you speak, and her eyes kind of connect with yours, there is a snarl of anger on her face. And there is no recognition in her eyes.
I'm sorry, Do you not... First of all, stay down! You just got launched into the side of a building! Are you... Stand... You're trying to stand up. Of course you're... It's you, so of course you're... Why are you trying to kill... Well, I guess I never saw you try to kill, but he was really scared. You... I don't like this.
Slowly drags her leg up so that she can, like, kneel and push herself up. And from beneath this, like, cloak of a jacket she has on, she pulls out this blade that is, like, jagged-edged and also shining a light blue. And she whips it towards you and, like, kind of directs you towards the wall and says, stay.
I am older than you, first of all. Second of all.
And she shoves you and the blade goes right under your throat at your neck.
Actually, I don't have anything else to say.
Stay. And she turns and runs after Aura Mills. Back inside, we have an individual clomping towards Joe. And Mama, you saw the revolver slide across the floor and land pretty close to you if you wanted to grab it.
So she'll just pick up that revolver and just chuckle before turning it towards the unarmed motherfucker and being like, I appreciate you giving me a helping hand. And she will fire into the back of their thigh. So that they cannot run, they cannot walk.
Alrighty, roll me a fight.
That's a 2.
I don't think Mama is unskilled in guns, but I don't think that they're her preferred weapon of choice.
She's also in kind of a world of pain right now.
And so you kind of like try to quickly whip around to shoot, and your side just shooting pain through your entire core, and your arm just kind of drops. Luckily though, the other individual with the sword who's coming in through the door, boot steps on the paint. Just perfect physical comedy. Heel slides up, falls, flips right onto his back, and slams his head against the closing door.
Joe doesn't even flinch when Mama shoots at the approaching assailant. She's ready for a fight. She's been itching for one, actually, for a while. And with just a huge grin, she cracks cracks all of her knuckles with each of their metal rings and just goes in for like a brawl, essentially.
I want you to roll a Defy Disaster.
I got an 8.
Joe enters absolute brawl hand-on-hand combat with this other individuals. Punches are being thrown from both sides, kicks, and a lot of them are hitting. Joe, you are getting bruised and bloodied, but so is this other individual. Mama, as that is happening, what is your reaction to this other individual who's like slowly picking themselves up off the ground, paint covering their clothes, and dagger or sword still in their hands, electrified?
Is there a way that, like, because they're on the floor still, is there a way that Amaretta can, like, kick them upside the head so that they get knocked out?
As they see what you're gonna do, quickly out of their mouth, go ahead, kill me. Another face will just take my place soon.
Oh, I ain't killing you yet. And then just kicks them upside the head.
And you hear a crack as your boot collides with the side of their face. And it doesn't break entirely, but there's a sliver of a crack in their mask.
Once we're done with that fight, I'm gonna take one of those masks as evidence.
She's gonna look up. She's gonna look where they just ran off to. She's gonna look back to where she just came from. She'll run back through the doors. What do I see?
Jo has really been needing a fight, and she's just like throwing her whole self into it. Her sword literally just at her side. She's been needing to be hit, to like feel the like bodily contact sort of deal. And she's sweating, the blood is pumping. She's like pinning this person down and they're like rolling together. And then the assailant gets an advantage and slams her up against the wall. And in that moment, both of their chests heaving together. Wow, quite good at that.
You see, like, their head move, like they're taken aback by this sudden switch in direction. Yeah. Good at a lot of things. They're gonna take your hands and spin you around and press them into your lower back and shove you up against the metal shelving so that your face is now kind of smashed into it.
Jo kind of, like, lets out a grunt as her face gets slammed into the wall, licks her bottom lip and realizes it's bleeding. And then just grins. I think I want to use one of my moves, which is repartee, which is when you figure out a person during a physical conflict.
All right, well then I need you to roll to figure out this person.
4. Ask the extra question for repartee, right? Because it says even on a 6 or less, I get to ask one of these questions.
Yeah.
Where did you learn to fight?
I was self-taught. And you're shoved again into the metal casing.
Can I throw my other shoe?
Crashes into the metal casing right next to where Joe is being shoved up against. And the masked individual turns to look at you, giving Joe a bit of an opening.
Joe takes her sword out with one hand and with her other hand grabs the back of the masked person's like hair and then kind of flips her into the position that Joe was just in, except that she has the sword blade like kind of pressed against the back of her neck, just enough that she can feel it. She's not trying to actively harm this person.
I thought we were getting somewhere, doll.
I don't know, I kind of like this better. JJ, how's it going over there?
I'm gonna be, I might not be right. You should check out this back room. I will be, tell Zion I'm not running, okay? That's very important. And then JJ runs away.
You watch JJ slam back through the swinging door into the back room, away from where somebody's unconscious and Joe has the other one pinned pretty tightly up against the shelf. You can see, like, below the mask, like, some trickles of blood dripping out of it.
All right, darling, how about you remove that mask for us? Ooh, can I use heat of the moment when you taunt someone into doing something they want to do but find unwise? Got an 8.
You'll take a string on them. They slowly lift their hands in a surrender-ish type of thing and then move their one to, like, their face to take the mask off and they say, doesn't matter. I'll have a new face soon anyway. And pulls the mask off and you see, like, an orangish-skinned, probably like woman in her late 30s, has, like, sweat dripping down her forehead and, like, this green hair plastered to her skin underneath a hood. And these, like, weirdly shining orange eyes.
Great. And what's your name?
I don't think you've earned that yet.
I have a blade against your neck. Have I not earned it?
She turns her face to the side and spits, and then wipes her lower chin with her other hand. Salade.
Now that wasn't so hard, was it? Why don't you put your hands together behind your back?
Fine.
Mama, you want to tie her up?
Got it. Mama will go after she's finished tying up the other one, and then tie up Salade. I think I'm going to go make a few calls real quick.
I think I can watch these two.
You come out the door in the back and you notice that the hoverboard isn't where it was anymore. And you can see it flying down the street almost as if it's leading you somewhere. And you sprint down. It turns a corner really sharply. You get down there. It turns another one and you see two figures at a dead end. There's like a chain link fence between two brick walls. And you hear again,
"No, I said I believe. I did what you told me to. Okay, I promise. I gave this for you guys.
And we appreciate it." And you see a spray of blood smack the wall and a blade come up dripping. "I said, stay."
"Would you believe me if I told you I forgot?"
The hoverboard finishes its trek down and lowers. And she turns her head towards you and the hood falls back and off of her head. "I don't think I'd believe anything you said to me anymore." And she steps on the hoverboard and it lifts up and flies off.
Pardon the interruption, but here's another show we think you'd like.
My name's Tessa. Tessa Whitlock.
Really, I'm fine.
You're a terrible liar. You know that, right?
You are a threat. You aren't one of us, and you know it.
I don't remember anything.
It was you! It was all your fault!
I'm not alone.
Look, can you just tell me what the hell is going on?
There's something wrong here.
Hearing is good. I am listening.
You hear me? I'm leaving. I'm not playing this game anymore.
You should tell them.
Tessa, you need to get out of there.
I'm done.
No.
I don't even know myself, Tessa.
No.
Look after her.
All I know is that I am here.
You're right now. I've got you.
Help! Help us, please, Anisha!
Tess!
Soul Operator will return January 13th, 2025, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can find the links to this show in the description box below.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The mists roll across the valley, over the bodies of hundreds of dead, as a large figure rises above the mountains, too large to be anything mortal. Enter Pocket Bard, immersive audio made easy. With an ever-expanding music library, Pocket Bard has made soundscaping for your TTRPG needs seamless and so very simple. The easy-to-use app provides you with scenes that include ambiance, weather patterns, quick and easy sound effects, as well as backing music with just a touch of a button.
Transitioning from town to a long travel journey? Don't worry. A large selection of the music and soundscapes adjust to your adventures, transitioning seamlessly into the next scene. You'll unlock a wide variety of music for all genres of play so that you can weave an incredible tapestry that'll make playing at your table even more memorable than it already was. Check out Pocket Bard at www.pocketbard.app or head to your nearest app store on iOS or Android to access the magic right now.
Have you been wanting to bring your home games to the next level? Maybe you're looking for the perfect holiday gift for the TTRPG-loving person in your life. Well, during the Hero Forge Black Friday sale, you can get savings as big as the stories you tell. Maybe you're a DM and you want to gift something physical to your players of their player characters in your campaign. Or maybe you're a player and you want to give the gift of an NPC in the form of a miniature. You can save 20% on physical miniatures and accessories, such as their iconic color plastic miniatures, their new, super cute custom acrylic keychains, or their 3D printed custom dice, as well as 50% on digital miniatures and STL files. The sale ends December 1st, so don't delay! Restrictions apply. Head to heroforge.com/sale for more details.
By the time JJ makes her way back, slowly walking through the alleyway trying to process what just happened, back into the main store, and you see that the scene has drastically changed. The two other cloaked individuals are tied up, masks off, one of them very much bloodied, starting to bruise. The cloak has fallen off her shoulders, and you just see these, like, really thick, rippling muscles. The other one seems to be a little bit more lanky and a little bit more not in charge of the situation. You see that Mama and Joe are in there and that there are now enforcers kind of swarming the place. And Captain Slate specifically striding through to talk to you all.
There's no way for me to, like, block the door, right?
I'd say that there's a window, so you could have seen this through the window before coming through. It is a swing door, but, like, you can try to pull something in front of it. It will make a noise.
Does it have a lock in any way? Or, like, a doorstop?
Like a little rubber thing on the ground?
I'm gonna put it so if you try to push the door open, it might stop it for a moment. And then I think JJ will walk around the building to the front. Like, once I get to the corner, I'll pick it up to a jog to, like, be like...
Some enforcers out front stop you. Hey, halt, halt! This is a crime scene. Active crime scene. You can't go past.
Okay. My mom's inside.
This is right at the front of the door, and Captain Slate turns around and notices and says, let him through.
JJ will salute and walk inside.
Well, it would be disingenuous of me to say that I was surprised to see you all here. Because you always seem to be, depending on your point of view, the wrong place or the right place.
Well, I mean, dealing with a snitch ain't no fun, Amarillo says as she kind of just goes to, and she's like, I'm just gonna find a place to sit down. Oh, God.
I think there's a stool that you can definitely pull up.
She's clutching her side. She's trying to hide it from the captain that she's probably worse off, but, you know, she can pass it off as, hi, I'm old and I'm winded from an altercation. Well, I mean, we were just trying to look into some of the paint we saw at that crime scene, and it turns out the person running this shop was a part of this association, you know, the last time. Faceless, because they were involved with this too, she says, holding up the mask in her hand.
They just keep popping up.
They're starting to creep in everywhere, it seems. Where is this proprietor of this shop?
I tried, and JJ jumps in very quick on this. I tried to chase after them. That he ran out the front doors when the other person was trying to get in, and I just chased him down the street. That's why I had to come back. I couldn't locate him anywhere.
We have a physical description of the man.
And then JJ will give a physical description of the man.
He turns around and he points to a couple officers, gives them the description, says, make some rounds, be on the lookout. And they walk out the door. Well, it looks like you've found the... If we can get our hands on Mr. Mills, then we might have more information about what went down at the Arclight last night. But it does seem like this is almost the end of the line for this.
That was last night?
I feel like I've lived a million lives since then.
Because we have the rapport that we have, I'll give you 10 minutes with these guys until we have to take them down to the station. Sound good?
Sounds fair.
Well, I'm at least going to get the names of them so I can present it to our client who would like to know the people responsible.
We'll finish taking stock of this place and you can be on your way. He starts to walk away towards where there's a larger group of his fellow enforcers and begins to delegate orders.
Are they still, like, on the ground tied up?
They've been, like, pushed together next to one of the shelving units.
Jo turns on her heel to face the two faceless and with a slow boot tread approaches them. And then she squats down so that her face is on the same level. Well, sorry to have to hand you over to them.
I think it's only fair that I know your name.
I'm Jo. I would shake your hand, but they're occupied.
Indeed.
Can I ask you something?
You haven't held back so far.
That man, earlier, the man who works here, he said he is a believer. Do you know anything about that?
A genuine smile comes across her face, but it reads creepy to you. I might have an inclination. Yeah.
Are you going to tell me?
But I don't really think you're willing to learn.
Jo gets even closer to her face and kind of like tilts her chin up with like one finger. I'm a fast learner.
Leans forward as much as she can with her hands tied behind her back. You can't stop it. An immovable force and all.
Consider me the immovable object. Because I will find out. And Jo stands up and goes back to Mama and says, your turn.
She'll just stride up to them, open up her notebooks, pointing to the list, and she's like, what's all this? Care to explain? Your little art project?
I had nothing to do with that. I mean, I know of them, but I had nothing to do with them. They're a language of sorts, but I didn't draw them anywhere.
So, why exactly are you trying to target younger folks? Seems like a pretty strange demographic for what y'all are trying to do.
Malleability. Longevity. But we aren't stuck to one demographic. Our friend who ran away was of an older age. I'm of an older age. We do what we're asked.
Right. Well, how exactly did you fall into this type of business? Doesn't seem like something you just casually do.
Oh, it's not a falling, it's a calling.
So how's one called, then?
Everybody has a different way to find their way here. People who need it the most will get it. And if you believe enough, that's all it takes. But some people aren't susceptible to it. Don't want to hear it. Couldn't fathom.
What sort of people?
You.
Thank you. I take it as a compliment that you don't see me as weak-minded enough.
Oh, there's nothing weak-minded about it. You just refuse to see past the boundaries of science.
And what boundaries of science are we trying to see past?
The biggest ones? Space and time.
You're just trying to mess around with space and time?
I'm not trying to mess around with anything. I am simply a servant that's creating a path.
And who do you serve?
You don't deserve to know. Not worth it.
She's gonna bring out a sketch of Dimitri and ask, does this guy look familiar to you at all?
The individual that you're talking to doesn't seem to recognize it, but the individual that hasn't said a single word does like a subtle double take, kind of wilts under your gaze.
When and where?
Always and everywhere.
Leans in like a little closer and she just goes, and what the fuck does that mean?
Means exactly what it sounds like.
So you see him always and everywhere. And why is that?
I wish I fucking knew.
Where was the last time you saw him?
If I could narrow it down from the vague concepts of always and everywhere, don't you think I might have by now?
Yeah, but it's a little, vague for my liking.
Well, join the club.
She just places her hands on her hips and just... She has a smile on her face, but it's the smile a mom has when a teenager has just said some shit.
Means something to you, though, it sounds like.
Means a lot. It means absolutely nothing at the same time.
Quick learner.
My kind of job you gotta be.
Looks away from you and doesn't look back.
Thanks for your time. I hope whatever issues that got you into this mess in the first place get sorted out for you.
All right. Amaretta, time's about up.
Mama and Joe, we should go. And we should walk this way. And JJ will point to the front door. And this entire time has been, like, nervously standing behind the two of you, not looking at the door that is in the back of the store and looking at all the cops and seeing if they are going to the door at the back.
They are starting to move that way.
We should go very fast.
Okay. Amaretta will kind of stand up and wince a little and start shuffling off towards the car.
The enforcers kind of open the door for you, part the way. You can walk out into the brisk evening chill and make your way down the sidewalk towards where you parked the car.
As soon as we are, like, near the corner of the building, JJ is like, we need to go, and is trying to get them to the back, and is just like, Aura is dead, and many things happened. There's rainbow runes in that back room, and I would like us to see them first. Well, I saw them. You didn't.
Okay, well, you can
but
just...
Also, I didn't call the...
I did.
How did you know? Anyway, there's... It's...
Well, look, JJ, we can describe what you saw and put it in our records. Right now, we should probably... I was going to say meet up with the client, but given our current state of affairs, I don't think she'd appreciate our look too much.
It's, like, glowing. Like, there's, like, crystals in the walls.
I'd personally like to take a look.
If you ask me to describe it later, it won't matter. Joe needs to see it.
Fuck. Fine. Okay, you two, go take a look. I'll be in the car.
Joe kind of like glances down at where she knows Mama's wound is. It's like, are you going to be all right?
Got a first aid kit in the car.
Perfect. We will meet you in there.
Why do we need a first aid kit?
JJ, don't worry about it. Don't you have something to show me?
Y'all are busy with something. Go, go, go.
Lead around the building, and when you get to the prop door, you can hear boots inside the back room.
I think Joe peeks through the door crack.
JJ, you see your shoe in the middle of the alleyway. You see the broken porcelain mask still there. And Joe, as you look through the door, you see that all of the walls are covered in a glowing paint that is marking out certain runes. Like, completely covered.
Holy fuck. They're actually bonkers. They're, like, truly crazy with this, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. JJ's, like, slowly backing up, like, trying to grab the shoe. And the mask. I do not want the mask to be visible.
Joe's looking through the door so you can grab it and put it in your pocket.
No, it was, like, weird. Oh, I should... Oh.
What?
They're gonna find a dead body.
Are they? This is news to me. Whose, exactly?
Or is dead.
He did kind of give me the creeps, I have to say.
He just kind of seemed like, you know, like I run a paint store. I'm an old guy, you know?
I mean, that is like an exact description of him, yes. He was an old guy who ran a paint store. I don't think that really covers his entire aura.
Yeah, I don't know. His blood, there's a lot of it, and it's somewhere else. That is not inside of him, and that is what counts when you're trying to be alive. We should go to Mama. Why does Mama need a first aid kit?
JJ, are you freaking out?
I've never, ever.
Did something else happen? I mean, you've seen people die before. You have seen people die before.
Yeah, but he fell off of a fire escape and then got up and ran away, and that's a weird thing to see.
Okay, now I'm going to have to ask you to roll that lie.
5 and a 3. Oh, okay. +1, 9. The lie I've crafted is unexpectedly perfect. However, Joe doesn't believe me. Like, I've led her astray as to why I'm freaking out, but she still knows I'm freaking out.
Well, Jesus, JJ, I feel like you have to start getting used to this.
This is the beginning of that. I'm on the verge, some would say.
I would actually prefer if you would stop saying that, because...
It felt good in the moment.
Not for me.
As you turn the corner, you hear the enforcers push the back door all the way open.
God, I fucking hate those guys.
Yeah, I think... Wait, why does Mama need a first aid kit?
Oh, the one with the electric sword kind of got her right in the beginning, but then...
Oh my God!
The wound, it's cauterized, it's fine,
As you're looking at Joe probably also needs a bit of a first aid kit.
Let's go to the car.
Sure, you want me to carry you?
I was about to offer that to you.
Oh, JJ, don't you worry about me.
I don't think you know how to be someone I can stop worrying about.
Joe kind of like half rolls her eyes. That's pretty sweet.
I'm sorry for what I said.
Me too. I think sometimes we both forget that we can't always be each other's punching bag.
You just make it so easy.
Oh, and you're one to talk.
It seems like I can't stop talking sometimes.
I don't mind.
And JJ will do a grin. Did you recognize either of the people from the ones with the masks?
I didn't. I thought for a moment maybe I did, but... No. Did you?
Well, no. No, neither of them.
I'm not going to let you reduce your feelings by 2, but you did make an attempt to open up to someone, so I'll say you can reduce it by 1.
Did something happen tonight that particularly threw you off? You seem shaken.
Yes. But there's a lot that we have to go over anyway. So I think for now we'll just get to Mama, make sure she's okay, make sure you get patched up. Even if you want to do it yourself.
You know I do.
I know you can. I think that's the most important thing right now.
All right. I'll take that.
What did you mean by you thought? You said you thought maybe you recognized someone, and then what did you mean?
One of the faceless just had this sort of energy, I suppose. Reminded me of someone. That's all.
You seem to not want to talk about that someone.
You're right.
If you ever do, I'm all ears.
Maybe. Maybe one day, but there isn't much to say.
You are nearing the car. You can see it just a few feet away now.
How would you feel if I stayed at the office tonight? I'm figuring you will also be there, and I know we've been giving each other space, but...
I don't want space anymore, and I may have broken the coffee machine trying to make hot chocolate in it. Well, it was half hot chocolate and half coffee. I don't know how Mama makes it, so I thought you could just put them both.
It's after the coffee is made. That's when you add the chocolate. All right,
Oh my God, because it's warm.
The hot water, yes, yes. Wow, I can't believe I have to do everything around here. So yes, I will be staying the night then. Brilliant. And I will be fixing that post-haste because I was really looking forward to a cup.
You can have one as soon as it's finished. I think that would be very rewarding.
Mama, you hear this, the semblance of a reconnection happening between JJ and Joe as they come towards the car.
I think Amaretta grins and kind of chuckles to herself hearing the conversation, because it just, it sounds like just, you know, she's had talks with her brothers and kind of like stuff like that, where like that reconciliation where there's still like that kind of nagging and that teasing in some ways. And so it's good kind of seeing that maybe for now things have passed. And probably all she would have then is like maybe like a spritzer full of like water, and she just has lifted up her shirt a bit to like probably take that and spray water all over it, and then gotten some like, it's just some gauze. It's not the preferred thing she'd use, because cloth on a burn wound is a not great combination. So she knows she's gonna have to use water later on to remove the gauze fully and safely, which is slightly irritating. But
any thoughts about going to see your brother at the clinic or taking care of this yourself?
She's trying to figure that out, whether or not she wants to alarm her brother, because he knows he would fuss over her, especially as she's getting older. He'll probably emphasize that she can't be doing this. But also she does want to make sure Joe's okay, but also she knows Joe well enough to know that Joe probably wouldn't want to go see her brother either. So I think for now, first aid is going to be the best option she has, because there's also a client she needs to go who probably wants to go and see her in person, and so she's trying her best to also clean herself up, get a new shirt on, or at least, you know, something to that's, like, not obviously cut and burned.
As you finish up with your little first aid here on the street and climb into your car, all of you, you pull down the street away from the paint shop, the art shop, back to a meeting with Rosalind Glynn, who is going to be very happy that you have successfully closed the case and her question on it.
This series stars Kenzie Tartaglioni as the Game Master, Atlas Matthews as J.J. August, Danielle Halen as Mama Amaretta, and April Consolo as Joanna Gilmore, with Michelle Kelly performing our episode recaps. You can help us out by listening and sharing, rating and reviewing, or coming over to our Discord. Also, you can join our Patreon to get access to our episode talkbacks and more. Thanks for listening.